Sammy to not go.
Thank you very much. Thank you. It's a privilege to be here with you today, and I'm excited that Pastor Jim invited me again to come. I love how that DVD ended. Do you remember? This is a call to... I don't hear you. Are you sleepy or what? This is a call to action. Let me tell you something. The Christian life is about action. It did not meant it to be, God never meant it to be just Bible study and fellowship and worship and prayer and all that is important so we can be motivated and equipped to take action. But if you do all that and you did not take action, you are wasting your life and your time. Okay, so now the action, of course, is not to have so many more babies, right? In case if there is somebody is a new Christian here, you know. The action is share Jesus effectively with the lost, including Muslims. Now, every four persons living in the world today, one of them is a Muslim. Muslim population doubles every 20 years. We have in America right now about 20 million Muslims. I know that for sure. Don't believe the statistics. I live in Orange County, California. We have 500,000 Muslims. Anytime my wife wants me to take her somewhere, because she can't drive to that place in the freeway, God tell me, don't worry, you are not going to waste your time. Take her. You're going to meet a Muslim. And I meet a Muslim. 99.9%. Los Angeles, 1 million. Dearborn, about 1 million. I spoke at Calvary Chapel Fremont 3 years ago. Pastor Tim Brown told me, I'm glad you came and you are helping us because we have 40,000 Afghani Muslims in Fremont, California alone. I went last year to Rochester, Minnesota. I walked in the streets. There is hundreds of thousands of Muslims. And I'm going back again. I'm going to ship maybe 600-700 books to give to Muslims and to give to the students. I'm scheduled to speak in the university and so forth. Muslims are growing very rapidly all over the world, including Europe, Canada, and America. And very few of them understand the biblical teaching or who Jesus is. Why? Nobody really tried to help them understand. It is that simple. You'd be surprised if I told you that church in America spend the billions, trillions of dollars every year and all her time on so many things, and they don't spend, Christian leaders and pastors, they don't spend 1% of their budget or time to share Jesus effectively with Muslims. Underline the word effectively. Because you know, communication happens not only through the words of the speaker, but the receiver must understand what the speaker is talking about. If the speaker is talking, Jesus is God, Jesus is the Son of God, you believe in the sacrifice of him on the cross, or you are lost, Muslims don't understand. How can Jesus be a son of God? How can God have a son if he doesn't have a wife? That's what the Quran said. And how can Jesus be God? They don't understand. They don't have enough information to help them reach this conclusion. You remember in Matthew 13, when Jesus said, I believe verse 19, when some seed falls on the lives of people, the word of God, and they do not understand it, it's easy for the wicked one to snatch away the word of God that was sown in their lives. They are not able to benefit from it. Simply, they did not understand it. And I want to tell you something. God wants you and me to make an effort to help people understand the biblical teaching essential to salvation. The incarnation, the divinity of Jesus, why he is divine, why he is God made manifest in the flesh. Help people understand God's love and actually make an effort. Think, how can you help people understand? using parables, using illustrations, stories. I mean, where else are you going to spend your time? Watching TV? Remember, the greatest commandment, love God with all your mind. Our mind is a terrible thing to waste. Muslims don't understand. Nobody answers their questions. They are born and raised with reasons and logic to reject the Christian faith. Nobody defeated the argument that they were taught. I'll give you an example. A Muslim, it's like Muslims usually say, how can you believe that God loves his son and watching him being murdered? If you are a father, you saw a bunch of criminals killing your son, wouldn't you go to rescue your son? Don't you love your son? That's what a good, loving, heavenly father would have done if Jesus is his son. Your faith does not make any sense. So we know that Muslims believe in the prophet of Abraham, and the Muslims believe that Abraham is a model and the example for all people to follow his life and his faith. We know that from the Quran. So we ask Muslims, well, how about the prophet Abraham? He did not merely watch his son being murdered, but actually one day he took his son in one hand and a knife to butcher him with the other. Was he a good prophet? Was he a good father? And God told us, do not kill. And the Muslims are now thinking about his own belief. And you tell the Muslim friend, don't you agree with me that when Abraham was ready to sacrifice his son to God, he proved his perfect sacrificial love for God? Muslim will tell you, of course, he proved it. And we tell Muslims that's exactly what God wants you to discover about himself. Because we read in the Bible, in Romans 5:8, God manifested, demonstrated his own love toward us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. And why God asked Abraham to give him his son? Like the Quran stated, the Quran mentioned the story very much. Why not ask him to fast or pray or give money or whatever? And Muslims will agree with you that if Abraham was willing to give his son to God, then he proved beyond any doubt that he is willing and ready to give God everything and anything he has. And you tell your Muslim friend, I am so glad you agree about this fact, because that's exactly what God wants you to discover from this story. Because we read in Romans 8:32 about God, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Tell your Muslim friend, God wants to give you this message. God wants you to know that he wants to give you the best life you can ever live on earth. Of course, as you walk with him. And one day, God is going to share his kingdom with you. He's going to give you everything. Because remember, Muslims are frightened from God. Because God is described in the Quran as a harsh judge who never promises forgiveness or eternal life. With one exception, if you died killing the enemy of God. Other than that, there is no guarantee. Muhammad did not know he's going to make it to heaven. And Muslims will understand this logic, will understand that by Abraham's willingness to give his son to God, he proved beyond any doubt his willingness to give God everything and tell him that's what God wants you to discover. And you share your testimony. When I put my faith in Jesus and I became a child of God and I experienced the forgiveness of my sins, I knew then and now I know that God loves me. No matter what happened, God is with me, and God will give me the best life I can ever have here. And one day, I am going to enjoy God's presence and kingdom forever. Now, this is very important to help Muslims understand. Maybe non-Christian Americans, maybe the gospel has been communicated effectively to them. I don't know, but most of them maybe. But Muslims, it never happened. Exactly like when I came from Egypt and I see a beautiful American girl and I go to her, I tell her, please give me your parents' phone number. She tell me, why? I tell her, my parents are coming. I like to visit you with my parents. What for? I've been watching you. You are so beautiful and you love Jesus. I saw you worshiping God. And maybe we can pray together with our families. Maybe we can talk and think. Maybe, I don't know, maybe God's will that we get married. Married. This is so weird. No, I'm not weird. I'm normal. And the more I try, the more I'm rejected. And I always wondered why. I had pure motive, great sense of humor. I look good. Hey, 1982, I looked beautiful. I have pictures. To me, this is the most honorable way to approach a girl. To her, this is the most uncool way that any man can insist on approaching her. In the beginning, she wanted to get to know me first. But for me, no. That's wrong. Because that's room for the flesh without discovering God's will. No, I want to discover God's will in a protective environment. Everybody has his own culture. God had to bring me a wife from Egypt, of course. I could not get along with any American girl. That was tough. No communication. This is the first fact God wants you to realize. Growing Muslim population all over the world and America, and very few Christians, even pastors, are making any effort to communicate Jesus effectively with them. Now, the second fact God wants you to remember, Genesis 12, God blessed Abraham, and God told Abraham, through you, I want to bless all the families of the earth. This is a very key verse. In the beginning, God declared his intentions and eternal plans from using Abraham, choosing Abraham, not only to bless him, but to use him as a blessing to all the families of the earth. You know something? God is telling you and me the same thing. God chose you and blessed you. Just to remind you, God put you in the best country in the world. No country compared to America, the greatest. God guided you to a genuine church, Calvary Chapel East Side. I love your pastor, and I love his sincerity, and he is so genuine, and he loves Jesus from all his heart, and he loves you, and he want to do the best for you. And Pastor Tracy is the same thing, and I met so many wonderful people here. Even Chris told me, how can I help you in anything? I met so many wonderful people. I saw Jesus in the church. When I go to a church, I don't care about the building or anything. I care about, do I see Jesus? Do I see humility? Do I see love? And I saw that, even the guy that was serving coffee. Now, God blessed us when he forgave our sins, when he opened our eyes by his grace to understand and to receive his love and salvation and believe in Jesus. What a blessing for the forgiveness of our sins. And any time we sin, we go to God and say, God, I'm sorry. I don't want to say that again or think like that again or do that again. And God say, don't mention it. Forgiven. I know your heart. You want to walk with me. Forgiven. Just keep going. And he lifts us up by his grace and he blesses us like nothing happened. Wow, we hurt his heart by sinning and like nothing happened. And we do it hundreds and hundreds of times. We ignore him most of the week. And then we come to him, we say, God help me. And he does. His love, his grace, his mercy that never ceases. God is telling you, I blessed you. I can remind you of a couple more. Life is short. You know Wendy that was serving yesterday? Wendy's husband, Bill, I think he is 50, he got a heart attack. Life is short. Just give it 15 more years if you didn't get cancer or heart attack. Half of us here will be dead. The other half, most of them will be growing old and most of them will be sick and they will die soon. This is the good news I came to share with you today. You will die soon. If you eat organic and you exercise, give it a few more years. But just 15 more years, you are in your way. No matter what you do. God blessed you by giving you eternal life. Eternal life. And God promised to reward you generously, eternally, for anything you've done, not for yourself, for anything you've done for His church, which is His body, the manifestation of His love, the church, or anything you've done to your neighbor or to somebody to help somebody know Jesus. Everything else you're going to lose, including your house that you spend so much time making it beautiful, including your car, including your health, everything you're going to lose. Remember that. Ask God to teach you to count your days. You have limited number of days. Be smart. Don't be stupid. And don't waste your life on yourself. Let me give it to you bluntly. The more you allow God to use your life as a blessing, the more He's going to bless you. Why? Because God is looking for channels to bestow and manifest and give His blessings to other people. God is not looking for somebody that say, oh, bless me, and bless me more and more and more. And watch TV or play sport. Or spend all his mind and his time on himself. Let me tell you, if you are blessed that way, it was not God, it was Satan. To keep you satisfied outside God's will. And Satan will do anything to you, will give you anything, if you agree with him not to be a blessing to other people. Remember that. Genesis 17, God promised Abraham to bless Ishmael. I have to move fast, so pay close attention. Ishmael is the physical, spiritual ancestor to the Muslim people. When God gave circumcision as a sign of the covenant to Abraham, Abraham and Ishmael were circumcised together. The Bible records God was with Ishmael as he grew up. Ishmael is included. Genesis 16, God promised Hagar to multiply her descendants exceedingly. Hagar was called Abraham's wife one time in the Bible. Verse 11, God himself named Hagar's unborn son Ishmael, which means God hears. The same verse, God heard Hagar's affliction. Genesis 21, God heard Ishmael crying. And let me tell you something. When you cry, who hears your cry? God. But God also wants you to hear the cry of the people that are separated from him, including Muslims. It's only fair. Now, you tell me Muslims are crying, oh, now more than ever. Why? Because recently, millions of Muslims have been attacking each other verbally and killing each other. And they discover that they are not God's family, because God's family don't act like that. And they discover that the religious leaders failed to guide them to unity and love and peace. And they discover that there are so many teaching in the religion that motivate violence. So they are crying, where is the truth? Where is the loving family? If there is anything better out there? Muslims are crying also because most of the Muslim people are God-conscious people. They believe that there is a creator, but unfortunately, they have the wrong information about him in the Quran and from their teacher. They don't have the Holy Spirit to guide them. They don't have the Word of God. And they are confused. And they are messed up mentally and psychologically and emotionally. They don't know where is the truth. And most of the Muslim people are thirsty people drinking from salty water. They have a sincere desire to know God, have the right relationship with Him. Do you remember Cornelius in the book of Acts? Cornelius was neither born again Christian or a Jew, but the Bible records that he believed in God. Actually, more than that, the Bible records the alms of Cornelius were accepted. Cornelius was trying to fast and pray and do something good, follow a good conscience. He did not know who God is, but he knew from his conscience and from nature that there is a God, and he was trying to please God. And God said, I accept what you are doing for me. Maybe more than most of the Jewish people, the people of the covenant. And actually, God told Peter, Peter, go tell Cornelius about Jesus. Huh? But remember, before God used Peter, God helped Peter to overcome his prejudice against a God-fearing man from a different background. And that's what God is trying to do with us. Try to make us love all people equally and share Jesus with them. So Muslims are crying. Muslims are crying. They want to know God. They don't know how. Even millions of them are ready to blow themselves up to please the Creator, and they don't know that this is Satan's biggest lie, to destroy their lives and the lives of others. Remember, don't be surprised, the Apostle Paul also, his goal was to lay waste the church, to destroy the church, either arrest them or kill them. And he thought he was doing a favor to God. One time he said, they have zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. He was a terrorist. Apostle Paul was ex-terrorist, and God made him the Apostle Paul. Don't give up on anybody. You remember Hagar and Ishmael were dying from thirst? What happened? God intervened, told Hagar, do not be afraid. I hear the Ishmael crying. Lift up Ishmael by the hand. I will make into him a great nation. Wow. And God personally opened Hagar's eyes. She saw a well of water and he saved their lives. This story proves that Ishmael's birth was not just merely simply a mistake Abraham did. No mistakes. And it proves God has love and wonderful plan from his birth and from the birth of his children. Remember these two names, Kedar and Nebaioth. Kedar and Nebaioth. Why? Because we know from Isaiah 21 that the Arab people came from Kedar. Why this is important? Very important, because in Isaiah 60, God said, all Kedar's flocks will be gathered to you. The rams of Nebaioth will serve you. They will be accepted as offering on my altar. Tan tarata, tan tan. Very exciting. One of the most significant prophecy in the Bible, and I will tell you why. I done my research. I discovered that the time God gave this word to Prophet Isaiah and told him to say these words, actually Kedar and Nebaioth already had been dead 1,000 years ago. So these words do not refer to the person of Kedar and Nebaioth. Are you with me? Why they do not refer to their persons? Because they were dead 1,000 years ago. Aha, they refers to their descendants. Absolutely, I read many, most of the Christian commentaries on this passage. And I will give you a personal testimony. About 8 years ago, my church, Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa, offered to move me from unpaid staff. I had an office there for 15 years to paid staff, and my wife I want to take the job. My wife told me, no, God's call for us is to be free, to go all over and to work with different denominations. And you cannot stay in the office long time. Plus, if they let you go, how can we live? So no, my wife did not allow me to do it. And God guided us to start a nonprofit ministry. And the first question we asked God, what Bible verse we should put in our letterhead? That's the first question. Immediately, God gave us John 10:16. I hope you got one of these. Jesus said, I have other sheep that are not of this sheepfold. I must also bring them. They too will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock, one shepherd. God wants his church to know today that multitudes of these sheep, perhaps hundreds of millions, are the flocks and the rams of Kedar and Nebaioth. Arabs and Muslims will be gathered with their families. They will be saved in the day of the harvest. It's a done deal. Jeremiah 49, Iranian Muslims will come to Christ. When God gave me that verse many years ago, you know, I wrote a book. God guided me to write a book. Took me many years, actually, to put it together, and I just revised it. It came out last year. And God told me, answer the questions Muslims have about the Christian faith in the most convincing way and present Jesus in the most understandable way to them. So a few years ago, God told me, God gave our ministry $10,000, which is a lot of money for us, for a small ministry. And I was praying, God, how do you want us to spend this money? And God told me, send your book to Colorado to be translated to Farsi, the Iranian language, by one of the best Farsi translator in the country. And I said, okay. So I sent him the book, and we planned to spend the $10,000 translating it and printing it. And of course, I was praying, God, use this investment. And I got an email. I got many emails, but one of them, my father is Iranian and was raised in the Muslim religion. When I became a Christian 19 years ago, I bought him a Bible in Farsi. Over the years, he has had many questions, which my husband and I done our best to answer. However, when I got hold of your book, Glad News, God Loves You, My Muslim Friend in Farsi, I was so excited to share it with him. About a month later, as he and I spoke, he couldn't stop telling me how much he loved the book. He finally understood the difference between the Quran and the Bible. I am so thankful because I know it has answered so many of his questions, you see. It's giving him clarity. And I am blessed to say he considers himself a Christian now. You see? Answer their questions, help them understand, and many of them say, of course I want to go with the God of the Bible. Of course. Who wouldn't? God in the Quran is not giving them a good deal at all. Isaiah 19:21, God promised to save Muslims in Egypt, my country. In the past 5 years, let's say in the past 25 years, more Muslims came to Christ in Egypt and all over the world than in the past 1,400 years, including my wife, ex-Muslim, went to prison in Egypt for her faith in Christ. I was in Egypt a year ago. I led one Muslim to Christ, and I assured Jesus with so many Muslims, including taxi drivers. No one objected. No one told him stop. No one, not one. Isaiah 19:25, God said, blessed be Egypt, my people, your people. That's what God said, my people. Assyria, Iraq, the work of my hand, Israel, my inheritance. Acts 2, Arab people were evangelized. People in heaven will come from all over the world. Muslims are growing all over the world. We got prophecies. Conclusion, multitudes of Muslims will be in heaven, especially that they are seeking to know God. They are seeking God's forgiveness. But they are misled. They are misguided. And God guides those people who seek him sincerely. Even if you are a Christian here and you are not seeking God sincerely, genuinely, you will not understand the word of God. And God is not going to reveal himself to you. Why should he? You are not seeking him genuinely. You are always seeking to please yourself. Okay? You remember the Passion of Christ movie? You remember that movie? A rumor got out there the movie is anti-Semitic. Because it shows that the Jews crucified Jesus. That made many of the Muslim leaders excited about the movie. As soon as the movie was released, so many Muslim leaders told their people, go watch what the bad Jews have done to the good prophet Jesus. You're talking about tens of millions of Muslims watching the Passion of Christ and crying like babies because they are emotional people, different than Westerners, different than Americans. Americans focus on accomplishment, achievement. This is not our culture in the Muslim world. Our culture is personal relationship. We don't accomplish much, but we enjoy our time. We eat together, we talk, we pray together, and we let God accomplish whatever he wants to accomplish through us. That's the culture, different culture. What is the good news? God already started fulfilling the prophecies, which shows that we are living in the last days. How do I know God started fulfilling the prophecies? I'm not going to take anybody's word from the emails I get that God is using the book to bring so many Muslims to Christ. I can't help it but read you a couple of testimonies. We try to send the book to universities because we know there is hundreds of thousands of Muslim students and many of them go take good positions when they go back. So the book got to University of Pennsylvania, and I got a letter from a full-time minister, Walter Johnson. My Turkish friend Mehmet said that he could consider the Bible and read it after he read Glad News. Now, quickly, let me tell you, my calling is 50% of my time to go to Muslims, remove the obstacles that stand in their way to believe in Jesus and to get saved. The other 50% is to go to Christians, to travel and speak in the churches and speak through the radio and motivate and equip Christians to share Jesus effectively with Muslims. So that's how my life is spent. So the first obstacle in the path of Muslims, because our teaching is different than the Quran, so they believe the Bible must have got corrupted. So God told me, remove this obstacle. So I studied the Quran as a defense lawyer and throughout my life, and I discovered that all the verses in the Quran about the Bible stated that the Bible is the word of God. Imagine that. So, you know, I put all these verses with the prophecy evidence, eyewitness testimony, manuscript evidence. I made a strong case briefly. And many Muslims, when they read the first section, they start reading the Bible. Yeah. And they get saved. Why? Because their heart now is open to receive the word of God. Now they trust that this is the word of God. If you don't trust that this is the word of God, it will do you nothing. Even you. So the Muslims are scared of reading the Bible because they are scared to read something Jesus, Son of God, or Jesus is God, and then they lose any chance to go to heaven. So God told me, remove this obstacle. Job number one, first section of the book. So here is a Muslim man studying for his PhD in the university in Pennsylvania. And Walter Johnson sent me the email. My Turkish friend Mehmet said he could consider the Bible and read it after he read Glad News. It showed him that he was allowed to read the Bible from the Quran as a Muslim. It opened his eyes. He said, I could not put the book down. This is answer of prayer. I don't like reading English that much, but I read 200 pages in one day. I could have read more, but I looked up every Quranic verses. After a few months, he got baptized, now sharing actively to other Muslims while he works on his PhD here in the USA. We were all so thrilled. Thank you for writing the book. Another email from a previous ex-director of Voice of the Martyrs. Now he has his own ministry. I gave him books in Arabic and the French to take to Africa. His name is Pastor David Witt. You can Google him. I am glad to share with you wonderful news of your book. impacting lives in North Africa. We were able to send one Arabic copy of Glad News to see if it will be used by God. We gave it to the MBB, Muslim Background Believers. Our MBB contact emailed us later saying, this one book, Travel the Nation, of course he's exaggerating, but you get the point. You see the hunger and the thirst. Travel the Nation, two Muslims believed in Christ, accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. Now they are requesting 500 books. Of course we can't, we must print it there. The last email he said, your book has made the Mauritanian news. And the story behind it, the Mauritanian Muslim government discovered that Muslims, after they read the book in Arabic, then they start reading the Bible in Arabic in the internet. So they put a picture of my book in Arabic next to the Bible in Arabic and warned millions of people in Mauritania and South Africa, millions of Muslims, not to read these two books because they discovered that many becoming born again. See what happened? Of course, I put my book in the website. You know, they give me a free advertisement in North Africa. You see, you do something for God and you don't know how much God will use it. But God is waiting for you to take action and he will use your life. And Satan will tell you, no, you are not going to make a difference. That's a big lie. I received another email from a missionary. Your book is making impact on Morocco, Marrakesh. Another email in year 2000 from one of the Calvary Chapel, we use your book, we brought two Muslims to Christ, 2000. This is from our mission pastor, Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa, Pastor John Chubek. Now our mission pastor, he was a missionary. He said, we gave your book to a very dedicated Iraqi Muslim lawyer. He read your book, he became a Christian. I spoke at Calvary Chapel Tallahassee maybe three, four times in the past 15 years. And I got an email before I spoke last time. My name is Malak. I am a Muslim. I have always been a Muslim. See, she thinks that's a good thing. I met an American guy. He gave her a copy of my book. Let me say, since I read this book, I fell in love with God. I am now happier than before. I saw and felt what I haven't seen nor felt before. God's love for me. Muslims don't know that God loves them. Can you imagine that? The only problem I now feel I'm in the middle of, I am falling in love with Jesus. I told her, this is not a serious problem. keep praying. Keep reading, keep praying. Last email she sent me, of course, we exchanged many emails. I want to get a copy in Arabic to share it with my parents. Thank you for helping me experience and enjoy God's love and salvation. You know, I cannot read to you all the testimonies from the you know, this is one of the last testimonies I got. Hi, Sammy, just a brief note of great news. I have a Muslim friend I have been sharing with for over 15 years. See his faithfulness? A few months ago, I gave him a copy of Glad News. After reading it, he called me and said, no one can read this book without his eyes being open. I spoke to him recently and he told me he has prayed and is more and now trusting in Christ for his salvation. You see, they are ready. Calvary Chapel Chattanooga, we want Muslims to Christ. Calvary Chapel Corona, we want Muslims in the prison. You know, email after email. What does that mean? It means that there is a huge number of Muslims waiting for us to take action. That's not a time to waste your life in sin or in doing anything against God's will. Why? Simply, God is not going to use you. God's going to use somebody else. You know, God is going to save millions and millions of people and millions of Muslims. And he is going to use those people that are walking with him. It makes sense. Are in harmony with him. He's going to guide them to take certain actions and he's going to use them. However, God does not need you or need me. God can get the job done by himself. God can use visions and dreams. God can use the Holy Spirit directly. God can send angels in human forms. But God wanna use you and wanna use me. Why? Because that makes our life extremely exciting. Extremely. You know, me and my wife, we can't wait to wake up the next day. And we wake up, oh great, we have another day. It's exciting. God is going to do something. God's going to open doors that he's going to use us. God is going to close the wrong doors. God's going to make us meet people. God is going to fill us more with his spirit so we can understand and discover his will more. Very, very exciting. This is the life with God. Meaningful, abundant, rich. Now, I better hurry. My wife, ex-Muslim, I got a few DVDs, maybe 4 or 5 DVDs of her testimony. She was studying to become a Muslim teacher, Arabic teacher, became born again. She started talking about Jesus in the Al-Azhar Islamic University that graduate Muslim teachers. They told her, you are dead. You're going to die. And she said, well, I don't know what you're going to do to me, but that's what happened to me. I put my faith in Jesus, and now I have peace with God, and my sins are forgiven. And they told her, shut up. You are going to prison. That's the beginning. Before they threw her in prison, one of the PhD Muslim professor that was investigating her case in the university became born again. You see? Satan tried to scare you to talk about Jesus. But God wants you to talk about Jesus. In prison, she met 3 other ex-Muslims. Get a copy of her DVD. You don't have to pay anything if you don't want to. I have maybe 4 or 5 copies. I can send more. In prison, she met 3 other ex-Muslims. And they wrote their names that they could be executed. And they started praying and singing Christian songs. And they impacted the life of some Muslim prisoners. And they won some Muslim prisoners to Christ. Why God want to use us to save people and to save Muslims? Because God is love. God loves the people. And God knows that people who do not enjoy a living, continuous relationship with him are suffering. Including you. If you don't have a living, real relationship with God, you talk to him and you listen to him and you are walking with him, let me tell you something. You will live a bad life. And you will suffer more. There is already enough suffering and problems in life. But those people that don't have a continuous living relationship with God, they are not filled with God's spirit, they are the most people that suffer. Because they are left to themselves. They are outside of God's will and God's plan. They are outside of God's abundant provisions. You see? Jesus said the greatest commandment. Don't miss this one. This is the greatest commandment. Is to love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. Which means from your whole being. 100%. Let me give you good news. When you do that, you enjoy God's presence. When you tell God, God, I want to live today to love you from all my heart, all my feelings, all my minds, my thoughts, all my ability. And God said, wow, and I love you too. Then you meet God, fill you with his spirit. Done. But if you start the day by saying, God, how can I be happy today? What I am going to eat? Where I'm going to do? What I'm going to buy for myself? You know, I want to make more money. I want to do this. I want my interest. I said, okay, you don't trust me that I'm going to take care of you today? You are on your own. You're going to be independent. Okay. You're going to be miserable. Let me tell you that. Why? I tried it many times. I became miserable. I learned from experience. I want to be happy. You want to be happy? Amen. Do what the Bible said. Jesus said the second greatest commandment is, you are right, but sometimes we don't pay attention to a couple of important words. Jesus said the second greatest commandment is exactly like the first one. which means exactly like means exactly like. It means equally important. Why? I wondered why. Because I can't love God in action and please his heart without loving my neighbor and helping my neighbor to have a relationship with God. If I ignore my neighbor, then I don't love God. They are one commandment. And that's why Jesus said, the Bible, the whole Bible is about love your neighbor as you love yourself. So start now making a decision. God, I really don't love my neighbors, and I need you to fill me with your spirit so I can get outside of my comfort zone and go to my neighbors and tell them, I am glad you are my neighbor, and bring a pie to them, or give them a gift, or help them somehow, and pray for them, and invite them to church, or to a Bible study picnic. Why? Because you are thinking, how can I help my neighbors? How can I help the last people I meet have a relationship with God? How can I please God? How can I satisfy God? How can I cause celebration? Remember, Jesus said in Luke, there is a celebration in heaven, party time, when one sinner repents. One sinner. That's what matters. And your neighbor include Muslims. Muslims are our neighbors. Because we can reach them through radio, through satellite, through publication. Muslims are here. God wants to save the bad people. We don't have time for this. When you see a Muslim, tell him, Salam alaikum. Muslims are God-conscious people. They are frightened from God. They are ripe for the gospel. Read some of the emails I get in my website. God wants to equip you. Make no mistake about it. God wants you to be ready for divine appointment. God wants you to know how to answer Muslims' questions. I'll tell you my story quickly. I was a defense lawyer in my father's legal firm in Egypt. And it was not really a good job as far as walking with God. Most of my clients were drug dealers, and all of them were guilty. So I used to help drug dealers get out of prison. And God convicted me and talked to me from Hebrew 11 about Moses. Because I used to tell God, what can I do? This is my job. I work for my father. I cannot. I have to help my clients. God said, remember Moses. Moses preferred to leave Egypt, suffer affliction with the people of God, rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Don't be stupid. You are not smart. By taking more drug cases, making more money, making your father happy, and getting prestige, and becoming famous, you are outside of my will. I told God, what can I do? God said, do like Moses. Leave Egypt. Leave anything that stops you from walking with me 100%. I left Egypt, came to America, working gas station, bus boy, dishwasher, waiter for 17 years, studied English, studied law, graduated from big university, UCI. Before I started practicing law as an attorney, God brought my wife, and my wife said, stop. God brought us together, not to get rich, but obviously, because of our background, God brought us together to use us to help Muslims know Jesus. And God told me, your wife is right. I resisted her, and she said, God told me, no, she's right. I told God, but what can I do? I need to do something important. I'm not doing anything. God told me, love me with all your mind, and write a book to present Jesus in the most understandable, attractive, acceptable, convincing way to educated Muslims. Jason, before we finish, can you listen to my pastor testimony, please?
I have a coworker who I can consider somewhat of a friend, who's Muslim, and we talk here and there. I'm not as knowledgeable as I should be about the Bible, and I would love to be more knowledgeable and try to help him. You know, because I'm concerned, but it's hard to answer some of his questions concerning the Old Testament and the New Testament, and I would love to know what to do, what kind of format to go through whether giving him a book. I had given him a Bible. So I don't know, you know, hopefully he still has that in his house.
Okay, we do have a fellow here in our church who is an Egyptian, and he probably knows more about the Muslim faith than what they know.
That's me.
He's very, very versed in the Muslim religion, and he's written a book titled God Loves You, My Muslim Friend. And many Muslims have been converted after reading this book. So I would suggest that if you want to give your friend something that would really help him, because it takes the Muslim beliefs and it sort of takes the Bible and sort of shows comparisons and so forth. And I would highly recommend that you give him this book by Sammy Tanaho on God Loves You, My Muslim Friend.
Thank you, Jason. PowerPoint so I can finish the last verse. Pastor Chuck was surprised to see all these Muslims coming, shaking his hands and telling him we were Muslims, we became Christians. That's how God want to save people. How can they believe of him whom they have not heard? How can they hear without you and me? And that's why God want to equip you. And remember, God gave his church pastors and teachers to equip you to do the works of the ministry. You know, so many people have the wrong idea. The ministry, the pastor has to do the ministry. That's the wrong idea. Every member in the church must be active in doing the ministry. The pastor is human, and his wife is human, and his assistant is human. They have a certain job, and they try to do it, but if you don't agree with God and walk with God and be active in doing the ministry, you are not going to grow spiritually, and you are not going to be used by God, even if the pastor told you everything in the Bible correctly. You know, I am not doing the ministry. I want you to know that. You think you might think I am a hero. I'm not. I am like you. I have my weaknesses, and I have my challenges, and I have my struggle, and I try to do every day what God wants me to do. But who's doing the ministry? Actually, it's not me. You know, I was in Israel a couple of years ago to teach in a few seminaries and to evangelize Muslims, and I got invitation to speak in Bethlehem Seminary and a lunch, invitation to lunch, me and my wife, from the president. So I was thanking him. He said, no, I am the one who thanked you. I told him why, and why you invited me to speak, you know, how do you know me? And he said, oh, you gave us 2,000 copies of your book in Arabic. I told him, I did not give you anything. We printed 5,000 copies in Arabic in Israel. We did not know who took the book. We tried to do that in Africa, in Russia, in Romania, in as many countries as possible. He said, well, we got 2,000 copies. You know what happened? I told him, no, I don't know. He said, we gave them to Palestinian Muslims in the West Bank, and we won 100 Muslims to Christ. Now, who won the 100 Muslims to Christ? God, through me, writing the book, and through the American man that paid for the printing of 5,000 copies in Israel. Who's going to get rewarded? Maybe I will get 5% reward, and he will get 80% reward for those 100 Muslims, and maybe 20% reward for the people that prayed, including my wife. So Satan will come to you and tell you, you cannot do much for God. You can! You know, somebody working as a nurse yesterday told me, I can't wait to quit my job and to be full-time minister. I told him, no, not really. Make sure that this is God's will. God maybe wants you to work as a nurse, take more courses, make more money, and give more money to your church. When you give money to your church, you are not doing anything less spiritual than the pastor. Why? Because you are giving your life. You work it, you spend your life to make that money, and you are giving your money to your church so the church can reach more people, support more missionary, or whatever. You are used by God to bring eternal fruits. When you serve in the church, in the Sunday school, you are not doing anything less spiritual than the pastor. Because that's what God wants you to do. So whatever God wants you to do, pick up a trash from the church, clean the church, invite people to church, work more and make more money. You can't do any of this. You can pray more. That's spiritual. But the idea is you are living for God. You are not living for yourself. You are not wasting your life. And I want to tell you, above your tithing, if you want to help your ministry, and we do need financial partners, above your tithing, if you can donate one time to Glad News for Muslims, please do. If you can become a financial partner, even $15 a month, $10 a month, help us, because I am praying that God will use me more through media, through radio, and through satellite TV. And of course, it takes financial partners. And I am glad to meet one of my financial partners today, Donna Anderson. And she said, I am with you. I'm supporting you. And those are the people that are doing the ministry, the people that are praying, the people that are donating, the people that actively, you can take a book and pray, God, bring me a Muslim, give it to him. Or God, bring me an American who knows a Muslim and give it to him. If you get a book by chance, make your check payable to Glad News for Muslims. Don't make it payable to me. I want to finish with something, a verse from the Bible. I know it took much time because I don't know when I'm going to come back again. And I usually don't go to the same church. I usually try to go all over the world if I can to spread this message and information. Jesus said something so true. See, Satan lies to us. First, Satan said, don't give your life to Jesus. Oh, you're going to lose your life if you give it to Jesus, which is a lie. Because most of us experience when we give our life to Jesus, when we believe in him, we became born again. We became children of God. And wow, we have a relationship with God. And then after you became born again Christian, Satan lies to you and tell you, now you are born again Christian. You are going to heaven. Enjoy your life now. Live for yourself. And go to church and give some money. And pray and worship. But essentially, live for yourself. Live to make yourself happy. Listen to what Jesus said. If you try to keep your life for yourself, you will lose it. You will lose it. And you will discover that when you get old, and it will be too late. Because you are getting old. You can't do much now. You can't start now. You can, but it's going to be a little bit good. If you started, the earlier you start, the better. That's what I told Chris. I told him, your life is going to be better than my life because you are starting from now to serve God in a humble way. That's what God's looking for. But Jesus said in Mark, but if you give up your life, if you give your life to me and for the gospel's sake, you will find the true life. Why? Because let me tell you something. God can take care of you better than you can take care of yourself. Amen. Just get this. You are his child. God promised. And he will look bad if he did not take care of you. He will take care of you. And God, the most important thing, God does not want you to waste your life on yourself. You think I have any regret losing my legal career and my family in Egypt and my property? Do you think I have any regret? Get it. Getting all these emails, Muslims coming to Christ, I have no regret. Zero. I am glad I lost everything. I am glad I lost my life because God gave me a life. Wow. I could not have dreamed to have, and I don't deserve that people like Donna Anderson support my ministry. And now we have the book in 11 languages. 11 languages. And we are about to use the radio. I am on Ed Taylor Christian Radio. I am on the radio in New Jersey, Texas, many places. Oh, I am a sinner. I am like you. I have my weakness and I have my doubts and I have my struggle. But if you wake up in the morning, you tell God, God, from all my heart, from all my soul, I want to give you my life today. I want to walk with you, God. I want to be used by you. I want to please you. I want to serve you. I want to serve my church. I want to serve my neighbors. If you do that, God, guide me. What do you want me to do for you? God, I don't want to live for myself. Let me tell you something. God is going to give you the most awesome life you can ever have. You do not deserve. You do not dream of. Because your mind is not on yourself. Your mind is not in your house, in your car, in your job, in your satisfying your needs. But you are trusting God and glorifying Him by giving Him every day in your life. And God wants you to love your neighbor and love Muslims, because Satan used politics and wars and terrorist attack to make most of the people hate Muslims and resent them. Satan put negative feelings in our hearts and mind toward the Muslims. That's why the church leaders are crippled. They are investing 1%. They can't, because you want to invest on people that you love, but most people don't love Muslims. God told you to love your enemy. Even if your neighbor is bad, love him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly